Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Gary Armily.
Holy Spirit, we honor you in this house. Welcome, Holy Spirit, our friend. Welcome in this place. How we need you in this hour. How we need you. How we need you, Holy Spirit, in this place. Come, Lord. Your promises are true. And even Tony's prophetic word this morning, your promises are clear and true. And it will happen. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Well, I'm going to try and preach. Say try. I could use a Kleenex. I want to talk serious this morning because I think we're living in a very serious time. In Acts, it talks about the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy, and I'm not going to read it all because there's some things I really want to get to, but I want to encourage you to read everything there is, especially pertaining to the Holy Spirit, within the next few weeks. I have to say, Jack says, boy, it's taken you a long time to prepare your message. Because I've been reading all week. I've been hiding in my office a lot of the time at home. And I've been reading. I have a lot of material on Catherine Kuhlman. A lot of material on William Branham. Benny Hinn. John G. Lake. I thought, I want to see what's happened to these people that caused them to be so sold out. Because I'm not sold out like I need to be. And I want to be so sold out that nothing else matters anymore. And so I began to read this week. And if I have time, I'll do a few quotes. But if the Holy Spirit is going to move in Canada like he wants to, he's got to have a body of believers that want him desperately. Not church like we've known it. And we all love the Lord, so please hear me when I talk. I'm not judging. I'm not condemning. I just want to share my heart the best I know how of what I see that needs to happen. So Acts 2, it says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. There's more to come than what happened at Pentecost Church. There's more. We can't settle for this. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. As I began to study the scriptures regarding the Holy Spirit, it's very obvious that the Holy Spirit is there from the moment Genesis 1 all the way through to the end of the book of Revelations. He's the author of the book. He's the author of this book. And he's there continuously woven all through the pages of scripture. The prophets of old prophesied by the Holy Spirit. It's the only way they could, right? And look how much they prophesied about Jesus and the fulfillment of the coming of Jesus Christ. The New Testament is filled with Holy Spirit. And sometimes we think, well, this is a new thing. No, it's not a new thing. He's been there all along. He spoke in the chaos. as Claude so nicely said, when we look at Genesis, before the fall, we see Adam and Eve, and they were created in God's image and likeness. I'm not going to belabor this, but hear the cry in the heart of the Father when Adam fell, when he said, "Adam, where are you? Adam, I've lost fellowship with you. I can no longer commune with you. Adam, where are you?" He knew where exactly where he was. Adam was hiding. He knew. But it was the loss of the fellowship of the Holy Spirit in Adam and Eve that was really at the heart of what the cry was. Pastor Jay 2 weeks ago talked about the fellowship we have with the Holy Spirit, the communion, the comradeship, the intimacy of the Holy Spirit. I think, truthfully, it's very foreign to a lot of people, the intimacy of the Holy Spirit. Church is going on all over the world today, and people don't even know he exists, other than he's talked about as part of the Trinity. True? That's not a condemnation. The light hasn't been turned on yet. So when Adam fell, the plan that was there from the foundation of time got put into place. And the Son of Man, Jesus, the Son of God, said to the Father, "I'll go." And he divested himself of the deity that he had in heaven, came down as a man, sinless man, to die on the cross. That's the shedding of his blood, the perfect sacrifice, became our entrance, our door, right? Into Christianity, into walking with him. When Jesus begins to talk about the Holy Spirit, he begins to reveal incredible truths that we haven't even understood, I don't think. I haven't. You know, I think I've surrendered. And then I watch how I respond in a situation. And especially of late. And I think, "Lord, have I really surrendered?" Because most of it is about my will. If we're truthful. If we're truthful. It's about my will. And how my will just got offended or whatever. It didn't happen the way I wanted it to. As I was preparing this, I thought, "God, have I even surrendered?" Because I see in the lives of some of these people the level of surrender that came. And then I look at Jesus and I see the level of surrender that he paid to get us free. In John 16, we read the words, thank you. We read the words that Jesus spoke. He said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away." Jesus had to return to the Father to become the great high priest forever in eternity. He said, "For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged." Jesus had to go. He was one. He ministered to many, but he was one. He imparted his life into 12. 70 got to see it. 120 were in the upper room. But they could never have changed the world. The Holy Spirit had to come. That other one. That one. Just like the two in heaven, right? The third person of the Trinity had to come. The baptism of the Holy Spirit equipped a many-membered body all across the world. And the enemy has fought this with religious doctrine, division over tongues. You know why? Because if we would become empowered the way God intended us to become empowered, can you imagine how the world would change as we began to walk in the authority we really are meant to carry? The devil is so afraid. This is the weapon that Jesus had, empowering all of us to fight against what is happening on the earth. Not the way we think, politically or anything else. On our faces, on the door, on the floor. Amen? Walking in authority. Walking in who we were created to be. Filled with Him. Being able to respond immediately. Seeing in the Spirit what's operating behind the activity that's going on. And knowing how to do warfare against it. Whether to fast, to pray, whether to jump and shout, whether to praise the Lord, whether to go into the glory, or whether to lay on the floor and repent. Many ways the enemy flees. Whether, I was once told, Gary, one of the methods of warfare is to send roses to someone who's hurt you. I remember I went, pardon? I get it today. Oh, yes. Many ways of doing warfare. Then Jesus goes on to say, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that He will take of mine and declare it to you. So everything the Father has belongs to Jesus. But everything that Jesus has, the Holy Spirit has been given authority to give to us. And in faith, everything that is there, we can appropriate. It's ours. Everything. 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 Nations. I will give you the nations as your inheritance. But first, we've got to start in our own area. Say, Lord, let us touch Essex, Tecumseh, Windsor. Amen? A people have to arise who say, enough is enough. Enough is enough. Enough drug addiction. Enough prostitution. Enough graft in the government. Enough is enough. Now we're going to worship the King, and we're going to stand in unity, and we're going to praise in unity, all of us together. Amen? We haven't seen that. In fact, in this season, seems like something distant. But it's coming back. If we become passionate, that word is an accurate word that came this morning. God wants to move on Canada powerfully. But it's going to require a people. It's going to require more than 5 and 7 of us online. Join us, please. Say, well, I don't know how to pray. Just come online. You'll learn. Anyway, I don't want to get off track. The God who spoke the worlds into being dwells inside of us. The God who created the galaxies dwells inside of us by the Holy Spirit. But what are we doing with him? What are we doing with all this that dwells inside of me, us, in me? Everything is there. Do you want to know what stands in the way? My will. My will. My surrender. Because we're comfortable. Even in COVID, we're comfortable. Is it possible that the church has not understood or even known how to fellowship with the Holy Spirit? And therefore we have little impact on the world? Is it possible that very few of us know how to surrender? Not my will, Jesus said, but yours, Father, knowing what he was about to face. Is it possible that all the studying and all the education, all the degrees, all of the book knowledge actually has made it difficult for us just to respond in our hearts? Is it possible we've had a whole lot of teaching, but we've never broken into a realm where Jesus wants us to function? Isaiah 55 says, listen, are you thirsty for more? Come to the refreshing waters and drink. Even if you have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come and buy all the wine and milk you desire. It won't cost you a thing. Why spend your hard-earned money on something that can't nourish you, or work so hard for something that can't satisfy? Everything there is, and we have many wonderful blessings today, even in the middle of COVID. But I want to tell you, it won't satisfy the way Jesus and the Holy Spirit will satisfy. Scripture that Pastor Jay quoted a couple of Sundays ago, John 4:13-14, Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks the water I will give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up into eternal life. There is a river inside of us that's meant to flow out. It's meant to flow out. Pastor Rod mentioned a situation in my office. I'm sure he remembers. I don't. But aren't we all supposed to do that when someone comes near us who's in such pain? Isn't it naturally just supposed to flow out of us? This is what we're called to do. We're called to be. It's not just for Pastor Gary. It's for every one of us. The Holy Spirit brought power to us, and we haven't even touched that aspect of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came to occupy the body of Christ. He does many things in our lives. He brings truth to us. He brings peace to us. He comforts us in dark circumstances. He exhorts us. He loves on us. All of that. He develops the gifts inside of us. He brings forth fruit inside of us. He is there to cause us to manifest the character of Jesus Christ to the world. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings us into unity. The Holy Spirit fell on Pentecost morning. It says they were in one accord. They were in unity. Everything about the early church that you read, it speaks of them being in one accord and being in unity. There wasn't any division, church. I was on a teleconference call last night with Pastor Jeff and a few other pastors. And it was informal. And I was curious to hear what he preached first for everybody, but that was a private call afterwards. And we got to ask him questions. I believe you can go online to Jehovah Jireh Christian Center and you can listen to it. It should be on there by the end of this weekend. He talks about the division that has come in the body of Christ, in the teaching, especially last night's teaching. He talks about how the enemy has come in and divided the body of Christ to the point where the world is looking at us and really kind of wondering about us. Because it's all across the U.S. and Canada. I just sat there and I thought, God, it's everywhere. And it's the assignment of the enemy. The church wasn't impacted as much by COVID as it was impacted by the division that has come. Come on, let's be real. I'm not condemning anybody in here, please. Nor out there watching online. Please hear my heart. But we need to understand what's going on. We have prophetic words coming to us that a massive revival is coming to this nation. The Holy Spirit comes and he rests on unity. He's a God of peace. He's not a God of division. And you know, the division has come over my will, my rights. And I sit here and I look at this and I go, God, it's an assignment before you can even move. And Holy Spirit, we need you and we want you, and you'll move across a nation if you have enough people to cry out for you. But don't you want everybody involved in this? My heart sure does. And there's so much right now that the church is disagreeing about. And I think, Lord, no. One thing we know is that the world needs Jesus Christ. One thing we know is that there's a massive harvest that has to come in. One thing we know is it's got to come in through us. The Godhead moves through men and women, youth and teens. Amen? Little children. We're the vessels that they move through. And they live and move in unity. And so we need to be in unity with them and with one another. Paul said this in Ephesians 4, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. There's one body, many membered, but one body. Lord, help us. We need to hear his voice clearly. Because it's through us he wants to move. One thing that Pastor Jeff said last night, which I have felt and have said, the atmosphere all around us is riddled with anger, frustration, distrust, division. And so if you find yourself being overtaken by that, and you think, how come I got angry so quickly? Like, boom. Guess what's sitting above you that's trying to come on you constantly? Be aware. Cover yourself in the blood of Jesus, church. Keep yourself close to the Lord in this hour and repent quickly if you bite that bullet. That's the only advice I can give you, because it is so heavy above us. We need to resist it by coming in the opposite spirit. Amen? So we're warned, be careful how you live. Not as the unwise, but as the wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. We can be filled with the Holy Spirit moment by moment. We can cry out to Him. He's our friend. He's our friend. John spoke of a baptism of fire that Jesus would bring. When John was asked by Jesus to baptize him, he says, no, I need you to baptize me. But Jesus says, no, you've got to fulfill the word. You have to baptize me. John's looking at the Lamb of God who will come and who will baptize the people with fire. I remember in my younger years, just as a believer and then as a pastor, preaching on the fire, but thinking the fire was going to be painful and hard, and how could I do what God was going to require of me? Because I was still under a lot of law thinking. God has to slowly get that all off of us. Amen? Through the blood of Jesus. But now I look at it and I say, Lord, the fire is your glory. The fire is your presence. The fire is your burning in my life so powerfully that when I walk near someone, they're healed. I'm going to jump ahead. I want to read you something because I found this quite amazing when I read. As I said, I did a lot of reading. I thought, God, I want this. I want this in my lifetime. In New York City, Catherine Coleman had just finished preaching at a full gospel businessmen's convention. She was taken through the kitchen to the elevator to avoid a crowd. The cooks had no idea a meeting was going on and had never heard of Miss Coleman. In their white hats and aprons, the cooks didn't even know she was walking by. And the next thing you knew, they were all flat on the floor. Catherine didn't pray for them. She just walked. When she left the meeting, the power of his presence was still on her. It was so powerful that everyone got slain in the spirit. Doesn't say what else happened, whether there was a revival meeting right there in the kitchen, because obviously they were all messed up. In one meeting, she cried out. She stopped. It was in the middle of worship. She, by the Spirit, knew who was in that auditorium. And she just stopped and she said, please, don't grieve my friend. Don't grieve my friend. He is the only friend I have. I thought, Lord, to have that depth of a walk, that you can say, he is the only friend I have. You see, what was on her is meant to be on each one of us. I want to read a quote by Bill Johnson. I came across this a few weeks ago in my devotions. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is the fulfillment of the Old Testament picture of entering the promised land. Suppose the children of Israel had chosen to cross the Jordan, but became content to live on the banks of the river. They would have missed the purpose for crossing the river in the first place. There were nations to destroy and cities to possess. Contentment short of God's purpose would mean having to learn to live with the enemy. I want to read that again. There were nations to destroy and cities to possess. Contentment short of God's purposes would mean having to learn to live with the enemy. That is what it is like when a believer is baptized in the Holy Spirit, but never goes beyond speaking in tongues. When we become satisfied apart from God's ultimate purpose of dominion, We learn to tolerate the devil in some areas of our life. As glorious as the gift of tongues is, it is an entrance point to a lifestyle of power. That power has been given to us that we might dispossess the strongholds of hell and take possession for the glory of God. If we only stay on the river bank in our walk with the Holy Spirit, we won't dispossess the enemy. We won't even see him. Because our eyes in the Spirit have to be enlarged. Pastor Rod talked about the lenses having to be changed. Our lenses do have to be changed. Extremely changed. We want to be able to see what the Holy Spirit is doing. Amen? Femi, when you walk into a classroom and all the kids are there, God wants you to be able to see in the Spirit the one you need to focus on and pray for. The one that's dealing with a home situation that's so awful he can hardly function and he's falling asleep in your class or is belligerent. Why is he belligerent? What's going on, right? In a workplace, it's more than just having a little glory on us. There is a possibility of us carrying so much a Holy Spirit that the very presence of the Lord walking into that facility with us, that workplace with us, the hospital with us, can change the atmosphere immediately. Amen? If one woman was impacted that much, and then it goes on to talk about Benny Hinn. Benny Hinn was, I thought always that he received impartation from Catherine Coleman. He never did. He went in as a brand new believer to the Presbyterian Church in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Somebody else brought him. He kind of went dragging his feet. He's Jewish. This goes against everything he's grown up with. Him getting saved has already brought lots of problems to him. His father is angry. His mother is angry. He's a teen. Benny Hinn is brought to this meeting, and he talks about the fact that as he starts, he said, I was little, so I started making my way through the crowd. They were lined up all night to get in, to get close to where the anointing was. And so he crawls through the crowd and gets towards the front. But he said the closer he got to the front, he says, the harder I started to shake. He's still outside. He says, and I thought it was the cold. But then he talks about his experience of being in that meeting and how he wasn't going to worship. But as the worship began and Catherine Coleman began to sing, his arms just shot up in the air. And he says, I was on my feet worshiping. He said, something totally took me over. And he talks about the shaking that went on in his hands for 10 minutes, like a wind going over it. And then this warmth of the love of the Father wrapped itself around him. He went home from that day on. As a teenagers, every morning, Holy Spirit, do you want to talk to me? Holy Spirit, like you came in that meeting, come on me. The hunger and the thirst in that man, when you read it, was incredible. And the Holy Spirit began to teach him how to surrender his will. And we're saying, well, we're talking about past things. They were human beings. Benny Hinn is still alive and still in ministry today. Right? That, in those days, there were faith healers. But we've said ourselves with our own mouths, it's a nameless, faceless move of God that's coming. Right? So God wants us to begin to hunger and thirst for the Holy Spirit the way those men and women thirsted. They lay down their lives. Catherine Coleman talks about the moment, the date where she was when she surrendered her whole life to the Lord, everything about her. and she never looked back. I can't look to a date where I said, that's where I surrendered. I don't know if any of us can that it was that. I can look back and know when I gave my heart to Jesus. But I don't know if I can look back and say, that's when I surrendered my life to the Holy Spirit. We have to get hungry, hungry, hungry for the Holy Spirit. He wants to talk to us. He wants to commune with us. He wants to overshadow us. He wants to bring everything the Father has, everything Jesus taught about, open up the Word to us. He wants to fill us so that we just pour out to the world wherever we go. But if we don't even know who He is, how can we pour out? And if we've never stopped to sit with Him, to fellowship with Him, to draw on Him, to have Him baptize us and fill us over and over and over, how can we pour out? And we say, well, we can't get near anybody. Well, Catherine Kuhlman didn't get near anybody. She just walked. In one of the books that I read, it talks about Benny Hinn is still, I don't know how many miles from the auditorium where he's going to be ministering. And they start reporting to him. He said, miracles are happening everywhere in the auditorium. People are getting out of wheelchairs. He's not even there. He's not there. But the people have such hunger and such anticipations and such levels of faith that the Holy Spirit just began to move in the meeting before he ever got there. And they're just stepping out of wheelchairs and being totally healed. And blind eyes are opening, deaf ears are being unstopped. Because the people began to expect that God was going to move, that the Holy Spirit was going to move. They were honoring him in his office to come in and do what he wanted to do. What if we began to honor him this way? What if we began to expect him to show up in the middle of worship? What if we expected him to come when Pastor Rod was closing worship? And we just weren't satisfied with just worshiping, but every one of us was saying, no, Holy Spirit, come. Come to those that are at home. Come into their living rooms. Come to the ones their hearts are burdened for and heal them. Wouldn't that be a different service? Yet that's been prophesied about us. That they would line up against the walls, that we wouldn't have to advertise, that people would be coming from all over wanting to get in because healings were happening. So people have to get hungry and say, I want this. This is nice, but if there's more, I'm going for it. Amen? So let me ask you today, what are you doing with this wonderful gift called the Holy Spirit? What are you doing with him? Are you aware of him? Only you can answer that for yourself, but I ask that even as we have to close, I'm over time, but as you go home, ask yourself, have I ever surrendered to the Holy Spirit? But do it in prayer. Because the Holy Spirit wants our wills. We don't have rights. There's a lot of my rights right now. We don't, as believers, have rights. Did you know that? We gave them up when we asked Jesus into our hearts. That takes a... There's repenting right there. Because we don't have rights. But more than that, he wants my will. He says to me, Gary, I need to talk to you right now. And I'm watching an interesting movie. I need to go. And I need to sit with him to see what he's wanting to say. Now I got to lay down my will. Right? So Lord, let me just pray. I need to close. Holy Spirit, I pray that you put a thirst and a hunger in the people of Antioch, those watching online, those that are guests online. I encourage you, pursue the Lord, pursue Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that we would have an encounter with you today, that this word wouldn't just fall to the ground, but Father, that you would bring it to remembrance and bring it to remembrance and bring it to remembrance until a thirst and a hunger begins to form in us, that we want you, Holy Spirit, to move like you want to move in our services, that you, Holy Spirit, would have a people that you could move out through into Essex County, into Ontario, into Canada, into the nations. Lord, you said the nations are our inheritance. Lord, we got to conquer our own backyard first and ourselves. So Holy Spirit, we open the door to you. We give you permission. We are yours. We are your servants. Holy Spirit, speak to us before the day is over, and may our hearts respond to you. May a fire begin to burn here at Antioch. May a fire begin to burn in Essex County, hotter and brighter than we have ever known it. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.